The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I say that this book took me 4 years to write, but it really was 48 years to live.
The trials of life can wear us down. Sharing her own experiences of disappointment and pain, Grace Wabuki Klein gives encouragement and a fresh perspective not to just survive, but to flourish.
It was just weaving in between the different seasons and asking the Lord to help me navigate that, because you can be in two different seasons at the same time.
Flourish in all seasons of life. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent is with me. And, you know, Tammy, I do the little online things, you know, interviews every day.
Yeah, the podcast?
Yeah, and live stream podcast.
Okay.
But it's been a while. And I talked to someone, and I went to the team, and I said, you're going to love her. Her name is Grace Wabuki Klein, and it's taken a while, but we have her in the studio with us now. I don't even know what we're going to talk about. I'm just glad to have her here. Grace,
yes.
So good to have you.
It's such an honor to be here with you.
Thank you. I'm teasing. I do know what we're talking about. We're talking about your new book,
yes,
which is called Flourish, mm-hmm. which is an interesting word, not uncommon, but not one I use every day. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what you're trying to communicate and flourish.
Absolutely. Well, flourish is, I believe, God's heart for us, you know. And so this book is for people to flourish in whatever season that they are in, whether it's the joy-filled ones or the ones that are filled with heartache and pain. Hmm. And what often happens when we're going through a trial in life is we either retreat into a cave of depression, or we put our life on hold and we'll say, I'll do this when, I'll do this after. But God wants us to flourish and walk in purpose in whatever season we're going through. And so I wanted to write down some principles and some tools that people can begin to walk in their purpose and experience all that God has for them. And so just like nature goes through, you know, seasons, I believe that we go through seasons in our life as well. And just wanted to encourage people that, let's say you're going to a fall season, which is a season of just letting go of things that might be holding you stuck. Maybe it's in your mind or things that you've been saying about yourself. So that's the fall. And then the winter is the trials and heartaches that we go through. And it's really about how do you stand and how do you keep your faith when the struggle is real?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's winter. And then spring is about being open to what God wants to do in and through your life. Because so often how we pray and what we're praying for is a lot different than how He answers.
Yes.
And then the last season is summer, which is about celebration and reflection and thanking God for all He's done. And so through all that, I just want to encourage people that you can flourish, you can walk with purpose, that God is doing something no matter what season you are in.
Okay, so you talk about seasons,
yes.
You talk about flourishing.
Yeah.
I look at your life and you are beautiful.
Oh,
and I absolutely
you.
Love your smile. Yeah. Like you light up a whole room. Like
you
the
too,
atmosphere
my friend.
Changes.
You I, too.
Oh, me
thank
too.
You.
Do you,
yeah. Randy, just a little, yes. But I love that about you. And so the question would be, have you always been in a season in your life where you have flourished? You know, what has that been like for you? Because obviously when you write a book like this, I lean in more when I think like, okay, she has a story behind everything she's talking about.
Yeah.
And for those that might not know you, do you have a story?
Oh, yes. You know, my friend, the Lord has been so good. Mm. I say that this book took me 4 years to write, but it really was 48 years to live.
Really?
And it's like, how do I condense what He's done in just this short time? But I would say I've seen His faithfulness and the fact that at times when we go through things and we're like, God, where are you? What are you doing? That He is working. He is doing something that we may not see. Just like trees grow roots underground and we don't see what's happening, or photosynthesis is taking place and we don't see it with our natural eye. But just like that, in the spiritual realm, God is doing something. So in my life, There's been so many things. Probably one of the biggest ones is for so many years, I wanted to be married. I mean, I was like, Lord, I just have been praying for this man that you have for me all throughout my 20s, wow. all throughout my 30s, wow. and into my early 40s. I'm like, God, where are you? What are you yes, doing? And yes. when you're in ministry, you're helping with baby showers and bridal showers and all this. And so, you know, it was so hard. It was so such a lonely season full of heartache yeah, and yeah. just, God, I'm crying out to you. But I truly believe that he's faithful, right? And so at 42, the Lord finally answered my prayer. Brought my husband, and I love to share with people that he was not only my first boyfriend, but my first kiss. And that's not because so there weren't any guys interested, but because...
It's not because they weren't lining up, Grace.
But I truly believe God brings people together for kingdom purpose.
Yes.
And I was determined not to settle, but wait Good. For God's best. Yeah. And so that was a time where there was a long winter leading up to it, and then I was still in that time of celebration and the honeymoon phase when less than about a year later, I got a call that my dad had passed away. I was like, what? He was my hero, the man who introduced me to the Lord, taught me how to pray and tennis, all this. And I went through a season of, God, how could you not give me a warning? You know, like I had my quiet time with you that time. You could have said, jump on the plane, your dad's, you know. And so what happened through that season is I began to walk in a lot of fear.
Really?
I didn't see it coming, but every time Phil would go somewhere, I'd be like, where are you going? When are you coming back? Can I come with you? Because I wasn't there when my dad passed away. And so I thought if anything happened to Phil, I wanted to make sure I was there.
Yeah.
And so in that, I realized that's not God's will for me. That's not flourishing, living in fear. And I turned to the Lord and said, please help me through this season. I don't understand what's happening. This is not your will for me to be so like bound by fear.
Right.
And I remember after some time, the Lord just said, Grace, stop living in fear. Your dad was ready to go. Yeah. And that's when I got it, Tammy. What was the worst day of my life was my dad's best day because he was meeting his maker who he'd walked with for over 50 years. And I just realized, okay, I get it. I get it that was a celebration.
Yes.
And so it was just weaving in between the different seasons and asking the Lord to help me navigate that, because you can be in two different seasons at the same time. And so I could go on and on. But
So here's an interesting thing that I observe in that is that when you're talking about flourishing, you know, we all you know, God wants us to, our soul to prosper, or prosper us in some way. You know, we have a very positively oriented gospel, and I think we should, because it's good news.
Yeah.
Right? But when those unexpected seasons come,
yes.
and you're like, I'm in winter right now, and I thought I was in summer, and I want to be in summer, and God, I'm trying to be spring and open up to you, but man, I want to celebrate, and I'm going through a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you... I mean, I think I know why, but I think the importance is that we take those things to God.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of times that can crush people.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, this Christianity thing's not working out like I thought it was supposed to.
Right.
What did you find when you went to God? Not just the, you know, sort of an answer or a different perspective shift, but how did that whole process get you to a place where you could celebrate again?
Right. And so one of the prayers I asked the Lord for so many years is, why is it taking so long to bring the man that you have for me?
Right,
and I was like, you created the world in 6 days. Surely it's not too difficult thing, right? And so year after year, I did not hear anything. And it wasn't until after I got married and I was asking the Lord, why do some people wait 2 years? And I waited 2 decades. And I felt the Lord tell me, Grace, do you want a faith that is 2 years deep or 2 decades deep? And Randy, that's when I got it. I was like, there are some things that are only developed through the heartache, through the pain, through the winter seasons, through the trials that cannot have happened any other way. Because I can tell you that my faith is strong now to believe God for even greater things, because I've seen him come through. I've seen him answer, even when sometimes the answer is not what you were actually praying for, but he had something better in mind that he knew that you needed.
So you learned to trust.
I've learned to trust him. He's a faithful God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you about something.
Yes, sir.
Grace is a beautiful name. Lovely
Thank
girl's
you.
Name. Klein, good German name.
Yes.
Yeah. married name.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes.
Wabuki.
Yes.
Where does that come from?
That comes from Uganda. I was born in Kampala, Uganda, during the days of Idi Amin. He was a dictator way back in the day who was killing off people in the country. It was a very dangerous time. Mm-hmm. And so my family lived in the apartment just below Idi Amin's son. And so we were actually in a very dangerous situation, and we knew we needed to leave. But you can't just leave the country in a situation like that. And so our phones were tapped, you know, the military was in and out of the building. And I remember hearing my parents pray Psalm 91 each and every day and believing the Lord for his protection. Mm-hmm. And the Lord gave my parents an idea of how to leave. We put the stuff, all our belongings in university boxes, university vehicle, and left during the middle of the day. So it looked like we were just going to another university. My dad was a faculty, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
So he was
okay.
a professor. Okay. And we get to the border, they're interrogating us. And as a little baby, I just messed up my clothes. And so they're like, get the messy baby out of here. But that's how we were able to cross from Uganda into Kenya and eventually get into, my dad was pursuing his PhD at the University of Minnesota. So we landed in Duluth, Minnesota, of all places.
Oh,
wow. First winter nearly killed us.
Right.
But I'm so grateful for that foundation of my parents laid about trusting in God and relying on him.
Was this a theology degree, or was he a professor or something else?
He was getting a PhD in virology, studying viruses. So he was
really?
A scientist. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So y'all were Christians in Uganda.
Yes, sir.
Escaped that horrible place, came to freezing cold Minnesota.
Yes.
I've been there.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful places, but it is cold. Did they welcome you with open arms?
Not exactly. So, you know, the first church that we went to, we were looking for community, hoping to be part of what God was doing there. And a gentleman asked if he could come and have dinner with us. It was a pastor. And my parents were like, wow, the pastor is wanting to come have dinner. They created a wonderful meal. And he sat down. We didn't even get to dinner because he was basically asking us to leave the church. He said that they were uncomfortable with having a black family worshiping in their church.
What year
and
is this?
So this would have been 1976. Mm. And so we had that. We had our car tires slashed, brick thrown through the window. Everyone trying to tell us to go back to where we came from.
Oh my
but
gosh.
What I'm so grateful in all of that is that my parents didn't walk in anger or bitterness or unforgiveness, but they continued to focus on God. And through that, I learned as a young girl that that's who I go to. So when I went to school and started having people tease me and call me all types of horrible names before we even knew what bullying was, you know, I said, God, you know, this people say I'm this, other people say I'm not this, everybody's like messing with me, but who do you say that I am?
Mm. Yeah.
And can I tell you, I'm just so grateful for the word of God, because that's where I learned. As soon as I could read, I'm a child of the King,
Amen.
Heir to the throne,
yes.
fearfully and wonderfully made,
yes.
that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world,
Amen.
That I'm more than a conqueror.
Yes.
And I can keep going, you know, because it's
yes.
in me now.
Yes.
I know who I am in Christ. I know my authority in him. And it came from being planted in the word of God.
Yes.
That, my friends, is how you flourish.
Yes.
I love that. And to me, that says that in those winter times, because you left a winter season in Uganda and went to, you'd think it'd be summer when you got to the United States, but no, another hard season. Yeah. When we go to God's word.
Yes.
I don't know. It seems to me like that may be the only place to go.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Because he's the one who created us. Mm-hmm. He's the one who has given us purpose and meaning. And that's where we find it. You know, Colossians 1:16 in the Message paraphrase says that absolutely everything came from him and finds its purpose in him.
Yes.
So that's where we find our purpose. Yeah. It's in him. That's how we begin to flourish. It's through him.
Gosh, something that I latched on to, Grace, that you said too, was the example of your parents.
Yeah.
You know, because you were a little girl watching their example mm-hmm. and learning from that.
Yes.
Learning who you were in Christ and remembering those things so that they were quick on your lips, on your yes. in your mouth whenever something came against you. I love that. And yeah. all the more reason why it was so heartbreaking to lose your dad. Mm. Such a giant in your life, a spiritual giant.
Yes.
How do you get through? Couple questions. Forgiveness. I think yeah. you learned that probably from your parents as well, but you've mm-hmm. had a lot to forgive mm-hmm. throughout your life. Was yeah. it easy to do that, or has it been a challenge for you to forgive, to move into a season where you're flourishing even in the hard times?
Yeah. I'm human, so definitely go through things that are hard to forgive. People mm. say something, you know, maybe somebody said something to you or done something to you, and you're like, that's it. I'm done. I tried. No more. Right. But that's not what God has for us. You know, one of the things that is so key to flourishing is letting go, that fall season that I talked about. And it requires surrender. Mm. Like, Lord, I surrender this person to you, what they said and did, the situation that's going on at work to you, and putting it on the altar and saying, God, I trust you. You know, the altar throughout the Bible was just a place of meeting with God. And our society right now is so much about building platforms, but
right.
we really need to be building altars.
Yeah,
and that's the point that I got to when I was so heartbroken. I'm like, God, why aren't you answering my prayer? This is regarding getting married. But I said, God, I want you more than anything. Mm. More than anything, I want you. So I'm going to lay that dream on the altar. Sometimes we need to lay a heartache that happened on the altar and say, I just want you to have your way, Lord. And at that season, an interesting thing that was happening, I had a few friends who were looking to get their own place. And I thought, okay, if my life is completely surrendered to the Lord, everything comes from him, belongs to him, I want to be able to open up my home and let them have whatever they would like in my home.
Yeah.
So I invited each one of my friends, three different times, and I said, I want you to walk through my entire house, and whatever you want, it's yours. Mm. The Lord has entrusted
Goodness.
It to me for this season, and I believe he wants to entrust you with it now. And they looked at me like I had three heads.
Right.
And firstly, you know, is this... And what about this? And so we went through, and it was so much fun. One friend took all the clothes because we had similar size. Another one took kitchen stuff, KitchenAid mixer.
Wow.
Another took decor. And you know what? It was such a great experience because I was like, there is nothing that I wouldn't let go and say, it's yours. It's yours,
wow.
Lord. I did have a moment of panic when I had my car keys on the counter. And I was like,
yes.
If they take that, I don't know how I'm going to work. Because
yes.
The only thing I had told them is they can't come back with like a U-Haul. They have
yes.
to take it now.
Wow.
But it was just a place of just surrender. Like, Lord, you have my life. Whatever you want to do through it. None of it matters. And I'm just going to, you know, say yes, Lord. Do it afraid, you know,
yes.
this little introvert. Okay, Lord, we're doing it. But it wasn't the point to go out and rush to buy other things,
right.
but to be content, to be content with where God has me, what he wants to do, and that I'm his.
And make space
yes.
for what God wants to do in your life.
Exactly.
Let me make space, God. Help me to let go of that and trust you, Jesus.
Exactly. It's about
the
trust. Because I'm not telling anybody to just open their doors and let people into their house.
Yes.
It's about that surrender
yes.
and trusting you, Lord.
Yeah. Yes. I honestly couldn't do that right now.
Yeah.
I could not do that. But here's my question. What did God do in you after that?
Oh, gosh. There's just been a whole other level of trusting him because I know that he'll provide.
Yes.
You know, I thought in releasing all that, I was like, okay, what am I going to wear? You know, what am I going to cook and everything? But he took care of things. Mm. And so there's just a place that I operate from now. I know that I'm chosen because of all that I went through in my childhood and learning my identity and through him. I know that I can trust him and my faith is strong. So those trials, each one of them, all the racism I experienced growing up, it forced me to lean in and learn my identity in Christ. Mm. So those things that we're going through, those trials, whether you might be facing something today, the Lord is going to use that someday to be a blessing for other people. He's making you stronger. Yes. He's drawing you closer to him, and he's having you become more like him through the unexpected seasons in life.
So good. So good.
Honestly.
What a gift, Grace. Just
totally.
A beautiful.
Thank you.
Example of flourishing, even in the hard seasons. Yeah. So thank you for that. You know, Tammy, we have an opportunity right now where some people are in a hard season, and we can do something to say, God is with you. Take a look at this and see how you can help someone else flourish this Christmas season.
As we travel around the world, one thing we've noticed is the condition of the feet of so many children. We see children all over the world running around barefoot in some terrible conditions. And it's not just unsightly, it's unhealthy and potentially deadly. As we give shoes, which is a wonderful Christmas gift, keep in mind that we are actually giving them a chance for better health, potentially even saving lives. We are protecting them from some really debilitating diseases, things like hookworm, several things that can happen in their feet. These protect them. So it's double. It's a gift to give them something they don't have, and it's something to protect their health. Just like the smiles, when we go in and correct a cleft palate, we're not just giving them a cosmetic change, we're actually improving their health. Everything that we do is to improve the health of others, physically and spiritually. So join with us as we celebrate the birth of our Savior at Christmas, and we give Christmas shoes and smiles. Hey, little buddy, let's see if we can get this right.
You know, I wish all of you could go put a pair of brand new shoes on the feet of a child who has never had shoes before. But we can't all do it, but in a way, you can. In fact, we can't even do it without viewers just like you. It's only because you have supported the Christmas Shoes and Smiles Outreach over the years that we've been able to give shoes to over 2.5 million children now.
Wow.
Well, we've got 150,000 children that we want to give a brand new pair of shoes this Christmas to, but it's only through your support that we can do it. And Tammy, you've been there. You put shoes on children's feet, you know, and they
dance,
they smile. It's such a wonderful thing, but it's also a life-saving thing.
No, it totally is. And, you know, before I started working in this part of the ministry of giving away shoes to little children, I didn't even know what hookworm was. Once I started digging into that, researching that, I was like, this could actually, the severity of that kind of infection could take the life of a little child.
It does.
So I thought, like, how could we stop this? And is it doable? And to find out that this little shoe costs less than $4, it's completely doable. It could save the life of a child by protecting their feet, Randy. Oh, my goodness.
You're right. So it's a wonderful gift, and it's potentially a life-saving gift.
Yeah.
Definitely something that will improve their health. And here's the breakdown. You, right now, can give 10 children a brand new pair of shoes with your gift of $36. Many of you could give 20 children a brand new pair of shoes with a gift of $72. And you know what? I know a few of you could give 50 pairs of shoes to 50 children this Christmas with a gift of $180. Of course, some of you are able to give that corrective surgery. And Tammy, I know you've seen the impact that this has, the cleft palate, the cleft lip.
Yep.
I mean, now that is obviously a very life-threatening thing.
It is.
But it's also such a beautiful thing when they can smile for the first time.
Oh my goodness, there's a lot of reasons they can't smile. So for $500 to give them a reason to smile and to change their life, count me in. I'm all in. That's hardly anything nowadays. Right. For us, $500 will go a long way for them and change everything for them. So look, if you're in a place where you can do that, then I would say, please go online. Make that call today. Give the best gift that you possibly could give that could change a life, probably many, right now, today.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences, and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes, a gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs, and a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request the beautifully crafted green crystal shoes ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring three of life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries. With this gift, you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope you will go online or go to the phone right now. Let's really give these children the best Christmas of their lives. And you know what? We've got a gift for you today, if you would like it. With your support of the Shoes and Smiles Outreach, you can request Grace Wabuki Klein's book, Flourish. What a wonderful gift for yourself or for someone else. Thank you so much. I enjoyed talking to her, didn't you?
I loved having you. And I just want to say your name. Thank you, Grace Wabuki Klein. What a great name for such an amazing book. Thank you truly so much. We love you. We appreciate you. I love the journey you've traveled. I love how you spoke into my life today and reminded me to just to keep hanging on through the waiting, to trust God with all the pieces of my life. Yes. So many of us want to just give in and let go and not trust God, but we have to stay in. We're so close to the victory.
Yes.
The breakthrough is on the way. It's coming, girl.
Yes.
Love your voice. Love your spirit. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time on Life Today. I feel the weight of unanswered prayers.
Addison Bevere and Words with God, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.